الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The 6th century after Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is known to be the darkest phase in the history of humanity. It was a time when humanity had fallen to the lowest ebb of moral deprivation. They did not have any values left. The various civilizations that were prevalent in the world at that time lacked basic human qualities and values. The whole focus was materialism, was control of finances and control of power. So it was all about power, influence, and about finances. And in the interim, humanity had lost its direction in totality. There was no real religion at that time in the world. The religions that were there, that did not have any spirit left in them. There were just some rituals that they were involved in. They had added many wrong things in their religion, and there was no spirit left. So there was no spirituality left in the world. The great mufakkir, the great thinker, Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, describes this period of humanity. And he says, Talatil Fatra, that the time when there was no Nabi in the world became very long. So it was 500 years after Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The world did not have a Nabi for such a long period of time. And humanity requires the light of Nubuwwat for its existence. So long there was no Nabi. وَسَادَ الظَّلَامُ فِي الْعَالَمُ He says that darkness engulfed the entire world. So the whole world was engulfed in darkness. كَانَتِ الْإِنسَانِيَّةُ فِي طَرِيقِ الْإِنْتِحَارِ He says that humanity were on a path of suicide. Humanity was on a path of suicide. There was no نَسِيَ خَالِقَهُ فَنَسِيَ نَفْسَهُ Humanity had forgotten its creator, so it forgot itself. When a person forgets the creator, he forgets who he is. The values that he is supposed to be having, he also forgets, because he has forgotten that there is a khaliq, he has forgotten a creator. So humanity forgot its creator, so they forgot themselves as well. وَمَصِيرَهُ He forgot its destination. وَقُوَّةَ التَّمْيِيزِ بَيْنَ الْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ وَالْحَسَنِ وَالْقَبِيحِ The ability to differentiate between good and bad. This is a great thing, to have this ability to differentiate between good and bad, between right and wrong. Humanity lost the ability to differentiate. Imagine what a dark period of time. We're living in a very dark period of time, where majority of the world has forgotten it. But there is still the noor of Nubuwwat that we can go back to, in order for us to get direction. At that time there was no noor of Nubuwwat in the world. And humanity was going through this very, very dark phase in its existence. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to favor this humanity that was on the brink of destruction. It was a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, like, you have a very dark night, and then there's the break of dawn. There's a little light that comes onto the horizon. That was the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That little light that came onto the horizon. And as the time went on, closer to the sunrise of Nubuwwat, now things began to become even brighter and brighter. Now there were major things that happened in the world, changes that were happening in the world, that gave indications, أَلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُرِيدُ بِالْعَرَبِ خَيْرًا, that Allah wishes good for the Arabs and for humanity at large. And then finally, that very, very historic and momentous occasion came, which is the most historic moment in the history of humanity. The most historic moment in the history of humanity was that moment in the month of Ramadan, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 40 years of age and he was in the cave of Hira, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the first revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the sunrise after that long dark night. Humanity was in this darkness, and now the noor of Nubuwwat shone. The noor of Nubuwwat had risen at that time. What a great moment, where people were in total darkness, completely lost. They forgot themselves, they forgot their values, they lost their whole direction. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the noor of Nubuwwat. As much as we may try to comprehend this moment, we will never be able to fully comprehend this moment. What a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it was on us and the entire humanity. All the good that came thereafter in the world, all the starting point was that. That was the beginning of every good that came about in the world. Whatever may have happened and will happen till Qiyamah in terms of goodness, everything, the starting point was this sunrise of Nubuwwat in that cave of Hira. So in this very historic moment, this very momentous occasion, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the incident is very famous. We're not going to go into the full details of the incident. And Rasulullah, and now the first thing that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam at this moment, what were the first words? The first words was Iqra, read. These were the first words that were being said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Nabi who was ummi, he was unlettered, he could not read, he could not write, and majority of the population of Makkah Mukarramah were illiterate. They were a nation of illiterate people. Very few people knew how to read and write in the community of Makkah Mukarramah. And now the first command, the first instruction that's being given to this unlettered Nabi, this Nabi who couldn't read and write, the first command that's been given to him is Iqra. Rasulullah's response, natural response, Ma ana biqari'in, I am not one who can read. I can't read. I am unlettered. It's something beyond me that you're asking me to do. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam squeezes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He embraces him and he squeezes him. Hatta balagha minni al-jahad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, until I reached the point of exertion, I couldn't manage it. And then he releases me. And then again he says, Iqra. And my response is the same. For the second time he squeezes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The third time the same thing happens. Ulama have given the hikmah and the wisdom of the squeezing, that there were certain capabilities and certain qualities that were being passed on to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that moment for him to take on this very huge responsibility of Nubuwwat. So thereafter, now the first verses that come down, as we said, this was that very historic moment, that moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the most generous, the majestic, that Allah who is independent, but that Allah took pity on humanity and decided to favor humanity. And then these very first ayat that come down, the five beginning ayat of Surah Alaq, of Surah Iqra. What was the message of these ayat? The first revelation that was given to humanity after this lengthy period of darkness, the message was Iqra. Now Allah is saying that you, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who claims that you are unable to read, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. read in the name of your Rabb who has created you. One explanation that Mufassirin give is that start of your recitation with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And another explanation is that you are saying you are unable to read. You are looking at your own limitations. You are looking at your situation. But remember, there is a Rabb. There is a Rabb that has created you. And from that point, from the time you are a child, that Rabb has nurtured you. He has brought you up. He has taken care of every phase of your life. He has taught you so many things that you did not know. You may feel that you are unable to read. But this Rabb who has created you, and this Rabb is commanding you to read, this Rabb can make the unlettered person the most eloquent person. Rasulullah s.a.w. was Afsahul Arab. Allah is the one who can make an unlettered person, a person who didn't learn how to read. In our understanding, a person didn't go to school. He'll be a stupid person. He won't be able to do anything in life. How is he going to progress? He doesn't know how to read and write. That Allah has the power. Allah has the power that that person who never learned how to read, Allah can make him Afsahul Arab. Allah can make him the most eloquent of the Arabs. So focus on Allah and you read. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. Allah has created man from a clot of blood. Again, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that apart from Him creating the entire universe, Allah already spoke about khalaq. Allah created. He created everything. Together with Him creating everything, the paragon of His creation, and the most wonderful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human being. Allah created that human being from a clot of blood. From such a weak beginning, Allah created that human who is ashraful makhluqat. So when Allah created man from such a weak beginning, and Allah made him ashraful makhluqat, what's difficult for that Allah to teach you how to read? You're looking at your limitations, but look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. Then again the command is, اقرأ, read, وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. And your Rabb is the most generous. Your Rabb is the most generous your Rabb is. For a second time, Allah is giving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the command of read. Again, اقرأ, read. Either it is emphasis, or the other explanation is the first اقرأ was you read yourself. And then the second اقرأ was now you read to humanity. And you pass on the message that is going to be sent down to you. عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. That Allah who taught humanity through the pen. So Allah has taught humanity through the pen, by means of the pen. This pen that we use up till today, although many of us hardly use it nowadays. But this pen, what a thing it is. One of the first things that Allah created was the pen. أول ما خلق الله القلم. And then that pen was instructed to write the taqdeer right till Qiyamah and beyond. That pen wrote the taqdeer. So the first thing that Allah created was the pen. Then the malaika record everything from Lawhul Mahfuz through the pen. And then through generations coming down from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the pen was always used to pass on information. Such a great thing. This pen that Allah created. So Allah is saying, عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught by means of the pen. But the pen is one medium of teaching. It's one means of teaching. It's not the only way that Allah will give a person ilm. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Allah taught man what he did not know. Mufassirin explain that Allah who can use the means and the medium of a pen to teach a person, that Allah has many other ways of teaching. So you may feel that I'm unlettered, I can't read, how am I going to read? But that Allah can teach you in different ways. And He can use the medium of an angel to teach you. Allah can send ilm directly to you without the means of a pen. So this was this very historic moment, as we explained. In the history of humanity, the sunrise of Nubuwwat after this lengthy period of darkness. Respected friends, the lesson that we take from this moment, apart from the other things, the incident continues obviously and the incident is famous, but certain lessons that we take from this very, very important historic incident is that in this very first revelation, first five ayat to come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest Nabi, the greatest wahi, the greatest kitab, the Quran. And now the beginning of this Quran is what? The beginning of this revelation is what? In the beginning of this revelation, two times the word Iqra comes. The word read comes two times. The word qalam comes, the word pen comes. And the word allama comes twice. Allah thought, impressing upon us, the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of ilm, the importance of gaining the correct knowledge, the importance of reading. That ummah or that nation that was illiterate, they were being commanded that you must start reading. And then the miracle was that this ummah and the resources that we have as an ummah, the books that we have, the information that we have, the ilm that was passed down through this pen is something that perhaps no other religion enjoys. No religion enjoys so much of information, so much of knowledge that has been recorded through the pen and passed down through generations. So that illiterate nation were given this command, and the effects of that continue up till today. And we still find ulama writing up till today, and people doing work in ilm and in the knowledge of deen up till today. People are writing, volumes and volumes are being written as a result of that one command. Right in the beginning, that command that was given. So at this time of the year, normally when we make choices for the education of our children, actually it's done earlier on. The education or the choice of school is made long ago. But respected friends, let us understand the importance of deeni ilm. It's so important. The first wahi that came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was read, was learn, was about learning, was about the pen. And it was iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of Allah. So the primary source of information is deeni knowledge. The primary knowledge is deeni knowledge. Allama bil qalam, allama al insan. That knowledge that Allah taught, that knowledge that came from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and thereafter was passed on. Respected friends, if we neglect giving our children deeni knowledge and sound deeni knowledge, respected friends, we in our own lifetime will be crying tears of blood as a result of it. Unfortunately today, everything is about secular knowledge. It's about the right school. And we'll give all the importance towards it. All the importance is given. Why? Because my child must be able to live. But did I teach my child that, oh my child, you need to live as a Muslim. You need to live as a Muslim. If my child learns how to live, but my child doesn't learn how to be a Muslim, respected friends, that child is on the path of his destruction. And Allah forbid, we in our old age can suffer the consequences of that. Many, many parents are crying. They made the best choice, the best school, the most prestigious school, paying thousands of rands for the fees and whatever goes with it. Everything that school asked for, they did it. Extra murals, we can't compromise. Madrasa can be compromised. For soccer training, the kalam of my Allah can be compromised. For soccer, the Quran can be compromised. We made all those compromises, gave them the best education. Now the parent realizes, sometimes at least he realizes a little earlier, my child is already 15, 16 years of age. He doesn't know the basic surahs to read in salah. How is my child going to read salah when he doesn't know the basic surahs? But whose fault? It was the wrong choice that I made as a parent. This week one alim told me, he said, Mwana, you'll be shocked. I said, I won't be shocked. Because this is things we are hearing nowadays. He says, a 14-year-old boy comes to my madrasa. There's so many like this. At least now the parent realized. He said, they can't read Quran. What good did we do for our child? If we taught the child how to make money, but we never taught the child how to read the kalam of Allah. That same child, how we expect that child to come and recite at our qabr when we didn't teach that child to read the kalam of Allah? So respected friends, let us make the right choices for our children. And this has to be primary. We're not saying we cannot give our children worldly education within the limits of Sharia. We do it without compromising the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is permissibility for that. But not at the compromise of deen. Not compromising our deen. Sometimes we will say, no, deen is very important. Never. How can we give preference to dunya over deen? This morning I'm just making a big story for. For what is making a big story? But what we need to realize is many a times priorities speak louder than words. Priorities speak louder than words. What are our priorities? When we need to make a decision, when there's a doctor's appointment, dentist appointment, when it happens, morning or afternoon. Why? That's a priority. We already showed where our priority lies. Because madrasa education can be compromised, but school education can't be compromised. We're giving a very loud message to our children without saying it. Not a single word was articulated, but we are giving a very powerful message. That child is growing up. Every time we needed to go for a holiday, so my father told me, we'll leave after Juma. We can't leave before Juma because school. After Juma we'll leave. Why? Madrasa we can miss. Morana will understand. Not Morana will understand, you'll force your way. And the Morana will have to be forced to give in. So, what message does that child get? The child gets this message that deen can be compromised but dunya can't be compromised. Later on in life, when that child has to make choices and is compromising his deen because of his dunya, where he learnt it because of what his father instilled within him without saying a single word. Respected friends, we have to make the right choice. Just as we will choose the good school or the right school, whatever it may be, many a times our choice of right school is at the expense of the iman of our children. The kinds of schools that we are choosing for our children and the kufr that they are exposed to. But we will make conscious decisions regarding that. Madrasa, never mind, we'll get one apa just to teach my child a little bit. Little bit the child needs to learn. So little bit of deen the child needs to learn. We have to make the right choices. And in this way, we will be instilling the importance of deen in our children. The great Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, what a great giant he was in the field of knowledge and in everything else. Most of us follow him. When his son Hammad rahimahullah went to learn Quran, when his son learned Surah Fatiha, Surah Fatiha only, the ustad taught the child Surah Fatiha, he sent 1,000 silver coins to the ustad. So the ustad asked, that, what great thing did I do? What so big I did? You gave me 1,000 silver coins. I only taught him Surah Fatiha. He said, if I had more, I would have given him more because of what you imparted to my child. Now this is a man who has value for deen. Although he was in a position, he could teach his child himself. But this man taught my child Surah Fatiha. The appreciation I need to show. Obviously, material can never equate Quran. It can never be a proper remuneration for teaching Quran. Quran is Quran. But at least I can show some type of appreciation that this man has taught my child Surah Fatiha. Today, forget giving Surah, forget giving 1,000, forget giving 1. We won't even cooperate. What's wrong with the Mawlana is asking you to learn so much sabak? What's wrong with Mawlana? He wants you to come Friday afternoon. We're not even cooperating. But when the school says something, then that's not the response. So, appreciating this very, very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, in our country, we have a very strong maktab system. which many countries of the world are crying for it. We have a big maktab next door, and all over we have maktabs. Let us ensure that our children have proper Islamic education. And there's no such thing like the child came to grade 5, now it's over. Or grade 7, it's over. As long as the child can remain learning deen, we ensure that our children learn deen. Inshallah, when we impart deen to them, they will be successful in the dunya as well. If we don't impart deen to them, all the wealth we leave behind, they won't know how to handle that wealth. They will destroy the dunya because they don't have basic deen in their life. But if we give them deen, they will be good for themselves, good for others. They will be a good representation of Islam wherever they go. Whichever field they may be in, whoever they interact with, they will be a good representation of Islam. Why? Because we gave them a very strong deeni education. And this is what we as responsible parents need to do. Just before we terminate, we all know about the resilience of the people of Gaza and how these people are defeating the powers of the world. This week, there were many articles of this nature that force that went into a country, a fully fledged country, with an army, with air defenses and everything else. They go into the country and they kidnap the president and his wife within a short space of time. That same force was in Gaza, but they failed. That same force, the Delta Force, failed in Gaza in trying to retrieve one prisoner of the enemy. If you understand from a material perspective, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense how they manage to persevere for so long. From the beginning of the war, we heard this. And as the days are going by, we are hearing more and more examples of it. Sirru sumudi ahli Gaza. The secret behind the resilience of the people of Gaza is Quran. The attachment to Quran, it's something Allah is showing us, a miracle of Quran before our eyes. From the president to the ordinary person, everyone was attached to Quran. Everyone is attached to Quran. During the war, so many are graduating as Hufaz and Hafizat of Quran. Hundreds are graduating. Every few days you read of examples of so many have graduated. Then within the war, you will hear of them reciting the entire Quran in one sitting. Within the war, the famous spokesman of the Al-Qassam, who became an icon in the world, and last week his shahadat was announced. His daughter, Minnatullah, 7 years of age. 7 years of age, she became a shahida. She was martyred. During the war, she memorized the Quran. That person who would speak so eloquently, who would send shivers through the spines of the enemy, but his attachment to Quran, the famous incident, and it's circulating in the last few days, when his son met him during the war after some time, and he asked him that, "Oh my father, how much of Quran you reading?" He said, "I am completing the Quran every 2 to 3 days. Every 2 to 3 days I am completing the Quran." His son told him that with all your difficulties, all the work you have, you are such a high target, such an important person. How are you managing all of this? He says, "Kayfa lihadha al-amal ayyatim wa kayfa lahu at-tawfiq dun al-Quran?" How will this matter of ours, this work that we have, how will it be accomplished without Quran? Where are we going to get tawfiq from Allah without Quran? In their difficulty, they are reciting Quran. They are teaching their children Quran. His son, when now his father passed away, and now he writes regarding his father, listen to the words. And this is, if we pass deen to our children, then inshallah, this is what they will say regarding us. He says, "Shukran laka ya abi wa ummi." Thanks to you, O my father and O my mother. "Laqad rabbaytumuna ala hifzil Quran." You made our tarbiyat. You brought us up on the memorization of Quran. So myself, my sisters, we memorized the entire Quran. And "Laqad faqqahtumuni fi deen." You taught me the true understanding of deen. You gave me the understanding of deen. He's praising his parents for that. That after you're gone, I'm not in darkness. I'm not left alone. The whole family was wiped out. He was the only survivor. The only survivor, 18 years old youngster. But because his father gave him Quran, He feels strong because I have deen. He says, أَرَيْتُمُونِي طَرِيقَ الْعِزِّ وَالْكَرَامَةِ وَالْجِهَادِ. You taught me the path of honor, the path of success, the path of jihad. وَعَلَّمْتُمُونِي أَنِّهِ أَنَّ هَذِي الْحَيَاةَ فَانِيَا وَأَنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَ بَاقِيَا. You taught me that this life is temporary. So the difficulties of this life is temporary. The separation is temporary. And akhirat is forever and ever and ever. This is what you taught me. Have we taught that to our children? Or we've given them so much of material. Everything about material security. This is what you must do. You will have a successful life. You will make yourself, you will be successful in life because of this. We only focus on material. The day the material is gone, that person is in depression. Because his whole focus was material. He had nothing greater that he was linked to. No greater being. He had no spirituality. He had no Quran. He had no deen to go to. And when that material is gone from his life, then he's finished. That's the end of his life. Because he feels this life is his be all and end all. Let us, respected friends, again we're saying this. This time of the year, let us make the right choice. We should have already made it before. But if we haven't done it, make the right choice. Every Muslim child needs proper, correct deeni education. And inshallah, if we give them, we give them the deeni ilm, the deeni education, the correct Islamic values in our own lifetime, inshallah, we will enjoy the fruits of it. That child will know how to look after his father, how to serve his father, how to take care of his parents in their old age, because he's not looking at things from a materialistic perspective. He's looking at it from a deeni perspective, from an imani perspective. And inshallah, we ourselves will enjoy it in our own life. And after we are gone, that child will be a means of thawab-e jariya for the parent. Otherwise, respected friends, Allah forbid, we will be crying in this life. And when we are in the next world also, we will be regretting for not giving our children the correct deeni education. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَمُولَانَا مُحَمَّدِ وَعَلِي وَصَحْبِي أَجْمَعِينَ